right. A couple announcements here. Deacons meeting March 24th and the Lord's Supper is on April 28th. So that will be the next one for that. And also, I'm sure you saw the ladies are planning to have tea time on April 7th. So if you like to socialize, this is a good place to do it. I think they had a good time last time. So they're going to go there again. It says they have sandwiches, chips, cheese ball, and salads, and, of course, tea. So you can't go to a tea room without tea, right? So that's on April 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. And you can, I guess, pay Edie for that, and then that'll be a done deal. And I think that's all I have. Thank you, Joe. That was good. Sounded good. I'll go ahead and dismiss the children. Oh, don't forget your clocks next weekend. I missed that one. March 10th, move them up. Spring forward, right? So we like that. We can play outside a little bit longer. Not too bad. And then here's our 92 and 93 on religion or Christianity. Still in the same series, used and abused Bible verses. Before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer, and that just means we can take advantage of 1 John 1:9. God understood that we have a sin as part of our lives, and He made a way to take care of that through confession. And it's an awesome thing to have because you can do it wherever you are. Walking, running, driving, flying, doesn't matter. You can always confess, and we are then forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. So that's how we grow. That's how we glorify God, and that's how we learn the Word. So a lot of things is involved there. So let's take advantage of it. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this amazing day. We know we have different things going on in our congregation, but we thank you that you have a plan. You have a way. You have the solutions that we need to get through whatever we're going through. And we just thank you so much, and we just pray that we continue to be faithful, continue to go down the path of blessings and joy. We thank you so much, and we just ask for the concentration we need to grow, to understand more about who you are, and just to get to know your grace even more. We thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, you remember we kind of, last Wednesday, talked about a little article that I came across on Richard Brohm, who was telling us about kind of a works-based salvation requirement for salvation, and how he was justifying that was with Scripture, of course. And that's always how it's done, but many times Scripture will be taken out of context, which we just studied, so it was nice to see that. You know, we had studied that verse, and then we saw how he used it in his context, which was different from the context that it was in, of course. But, you know, that's how it works, right? That's how it works. If something is going to be used for a different purpose, it has to be taken out of its purpose that it was used for originally. And it's no different in the media or in the government or in anything else. It's taken out of context. There's always a different purpose or a different motivation of what's trying to be done in its use in the different way that it's being used. And that's how it is with Scripture, right? So there's always something lurking underneath that's false, that's wrong, that's not true, that's in error, I guess you could say. And so we just try to expose those things, right? The more we can expose, I think the better off we'll be as far as defending our faith in this world that we live in, because we live in a world that is full of lies, deceit, deception. I mean, this is Satan's world, you know, so that's how the scripture describes it, which doesn't mean that God is not in control. It just means that Satan is has been given domain over and to influence people in a way that is not for their own benefit. So we need to be aware of that. And I think one way to be aware of that is to see how people are using scripture in wrong ways. I think that's a start. Because as you know, I think we're seeing more and more people being persecuted and being made an example of for standing for the truth, standing for the truth. And it's amazing to me that there's, you know, where I know we're kind of in our own little bubble here, but there are other countries that are, you know, just like we are. They've been through the things we have. They've been through the censorship. They've been through the blocking. They've been through all that. And they've been through a little bit past us or a few years ahead of us. And, you know, we're right behind them. So after the taking down and the blocking of accounts and the shutting up comes, then comes, you know, the prison time and the shutting off your financial accounts. You know, it's not far away. So, and is there anything you did necessarily wrong? No. It's for standing for the truth, right? It's for speaking truth and believing what you know as true. So anyways, I just wanted to remind you that that's really why we're studying this entire series, is we do stand on the truth. And, you know, these kind of things probably to certain people would definitely be suppressed, what we're talking about here. But again, I think should be very comfortable and relaxed about what we do in here, because if the Word of God, if we can, you know, justify it by God's Word, then we could justify it in saying it and living it as well. So no matter the backlash, right? So so as you could tell in that, what we went through, there's a different kind of thinking involved in that. There's a different kind of thinking. It's a different way to do things. And I'll tell you what the main difference is between your way of thinking about salvation and someone else's, or is grace. Grace gets taken out, as you well know. And once you take grace out, it's no longer grace. Once you add works, it's no longer grace. And so we looked at that verse, but that's a huge deal, because that completely changes what salvation is and how it was given to us. And therefore, the motivation also changes. It's no longer grace-based, right? Salvation should be given in grace. And when we evangelize or speak the gospel, that shouldn't change. It's always by grace we're saved. That's part of the salvation message, right? So when you remove that part and require something out of somebody that is due of them outside of grace, that's when the motivation is, I think, becomes clear. It's no longer about grace, therefore it's about the sin nature, something to do with the lust of the flesh, and we have to be able to recognize those things. So if it can't be proven in the Bible, then we don't want to be a part of it. And so that's where it can get confusing. And that's why the article said salvation is one of the most confusing topics there is. It should be the most simple topics there is. I understand salvation has a lot of things to learn about, but for the unbeliever, it's designed to be understandable. The Holy Spirit steps in the way and allows people to be convicted and to accept who Jesus Christ is. So he takes the confusion right out of the gospel message. The gospel message is designed to be presented, talked about in a manner that is very understandable, very clear, not confusing. If you're confused when you leave from a message that you've been given about salvation, that's not the right message of salvation, right? It should be clear. So, and after the service, we were talking, and we mentioned that, do we think that Mr. Brom understood the things that he was saying and realized that he was You know, and that's a hard thing to say because, you know, you have to realize what the devil's in the business for. He's in the business for deception. Now, when I turn on the TV and I see people speaking lies, do I think they know they're lying? I think partially they do. And I think partially they don't. I think part of what they do, their plan, they don't have a clue of the, of course, the repercussions. They don't have a clue about the spiritual component many times. They don't have a lot of a clue about what's happening. But I think they also know about the lies, some of the lies, but they justify them as being okay to do because they see you as the evil one and as the one that's in the wrong. So what they're doing is okay and justified because of something that's, you know, they're justifying as wrong or evil. So a lie is no longer a lie. Stealing is no longer stealing. Theft is no longer theft because it's justified, right? So I was looking at, I was thinking about how Satan works and how he started his career. Think about that. You know, he started his career by deception. Actually, before that, he started his career based on rebellion, right? Rebellion. He did not like the authority that was over him. And, you know, we don't know how long that process took for him to come to these conclusions. But he didn't have a sin nature. He had a free will. And he came to the conclusion on his own that he did not want to have God's authority over him. Instead, he wanted to be like God. Actually, he wanted to be over God, right? According to the scripture, it's his enemy. So, and then he continued with that plan. How does he move his plan forward? Just like people in the world move their plan forward, they have to get people on board with them. And they do that through the deception. That's exactly what he did. He deceived one third of the angels and got them on board with him. To go with his purpose to try to fulfill his plans to become like the Most High, right? To become like God himself. So he deceived one third of the angels, and they're on board now following, carrying out Satan's duties. So his entire purpose is on trying to make his desires a reality. See what I mean? It's based on him. It's not based on the Word of God. It's based on the individual. And that's the main difference between us and people that are detached from the Word of God, detached from God. They have a lot of purposes, but they're not based on God. They're not based on the Word of God. They're based on them. And as you well know, we have sin natures, and our sin natures want a lot of things that aren't right and that are evil and that are sinful. So when you detach your purposes from the purpose, from the divine purpose, from the only purpose that is actually right and justified, you become a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution. So don't let all this stuff confuse you by saying, you know, how can these people say this or say that or get involved with this? It's not that complicated. It's the fact of the matter is they have a free will decision to make. And they've made it. Does that mean they're a lost cause? No. No, right? I think we're all here up until the point that we depart this earth for a reason. We all know people like Mr. Brom. That doesn't mean he's our enemy. What it means is that it gives you insight into the thinking so that maybe you can have a defense in place that God has given you and prepared for you to give to be able to conversate with these kinds of people, because, you know, it's not always easy to do that when someone is so set in their ways. And I don't know, maybe they are past the point of no return, but we don't know that. We have no way of knowing that. That would be called judging, right? All we can do is respond to our calling, which is to be an influence, have an impact, set the example of Christ in us around whoever we go and whoever we're with, and to think with the Word of God so we can maybe have some kind of effect on them that would focus them towards Jesus Christ. That's the goal, right? Because that's the only thing that's going to change someone that thinks evil is right. The only thing that's going to change that is to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now I'm talking about politicians. The only way they're going to think something they do that's evil is right is because they're an unbeliever. That's it, right? The only way they're going to be that steeped in evil and not see the light of day is because they don't know God. That's why. So you have to be prepared because it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. And that's not to scare you. It's just the reality. You got to get worse before you get better, right? So we're just going through one of the stages that history has always dealt, right? It's just going down this path of, you know, people get comfortable in their blessings and all of a sudden they need a kind of a revamp. And that's kind of where we're going. We need to be refired up again because we're getting kind of lax and lazy in our relationship with God as a country. I'm not talking about you maybe personally, but the majority of our country has gotten too relaxed. And I think religion is definitely a part of that game. Definitely. It's detached people from their relationship with God is what it's done. I mean, we're a country of religion. That's what we are. This one doesn't agree with this one. Is that biblical? Obviously not. But what it's done is it's become very, very confusing because Satan is involved. He's the great deceiver, and he's the one who allows people to get on board with his plan. Why do they do this? Well, because Satan wants distance between them and God. He has a purpose, and his purposes are being fulfilled because no one can agree on what the Word of God says. That's pretty good. I'd say he's done a pretty good job, right? He's done a real good job. So anyways, that's how Satan works. And he made the decision initially then, and he was motivated by the most destructive sin of them all, which is pride, arrogance, right? And I think that's behind every single sin that we commit. It's probably pride and arrogance is lurking in the background, and that's the one that gets us off course so quickly. So quickly. Why? Because when you think about the basis for the Christian life, it's based in submitting to authority. That's what we do as Christians. Think about it. We submit to the Word of God and we carry out the Word of God because we are obedient Christians and we live the Christian life. That's the idea. So when pride or arrogance creeps in, we want to buck the system and get out from under that authority. That's exactly what happened to Satan, right? He was perfect. He was God's right-hand lead angel at one time. He wasn't always, you know, Satan, the evil one. But because of arrogance, he became what he is today. And so it's no different really in our lives. I think it can get us off track just like it got him off track, right? So now what is he motivated to do? Destroy, hurt, kill, right? So arrogance is one of those things that carries with it anti-authority. Doesn't like authority. But think about it. Authority is a good thing. Authority is what protects our souls. Authority is what allows us to live in a way that is healthy. Authority is what provides our freedom as a country. Authority has so many benefits that it's unbelievable. That's why God has put it in place in the human race, because it protects. It's designed to protect, but notice the sin nature doesn't necessarily always agree, always like, always, you know, want to be under that authority, right? That's part of who we are. But at the same time, God has given us the means to have humility. To have the humility, to be under the authority, to be able to say, you know what, even though I don't want to do that, I'm going to do it anyways. That's not always easy to say. That's not always easy to do. You know, there's people that come in here and they go right out the door because of that reason right there. You know, it sometimes it takes a little bit of humility to hear things that we don't like, we don't want to do, and do them anyways. That's really what the spiritual life is all about. It's going against what your own makeup is about. Going against the sin nature and going make a decision for God, which you do have the Holy Spirit in you. That's definitely an option for the believer. But which way do we go, right? Do we allow arrogance to creep in and say, yeah, that's all good and dandy, but I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, right? So many different things we can do. So anyways, from that moment, Satan has moved his plans forward through deception. Deception. That's how he moves his plans. That's the only way you can move a plan that's based in falsehood forward. You have to deceive people. That's the only way you can move a plan forward that's based in something that's evil and not good and for their own detriment. How are you going to move that forward without saying, you know, this is horrible for you? If you'll do this for me, this will just kill you spiritually. You can't do that. You have to deceive them. You have to deceive them. And that's exactly what he does, right? It looks good. It on the outside, it looks great, right? All things, everything's checked and crossed. And there's a lot of examples of that today. How things look good, but they're not good. They appear good. They even sound good. Everything checks off, right? But when you get down to the details and you start to maybe read the bill, it's evil. It's pure evil. That's why they like to put those bills in 10,000 pages of, so, you know, what's the point? What's the point? Deception. That's why. That's the entire point of doing that. It's to deceive and it's to try to get under the radar. Well, let's talk about the real agenda, right? It's because it's backed by Satan. That's what the deal is. It's backed by Satan. If you're trying to get something under us, if you're trying to hide it, well, it's not coming from a good place. The motivation is rooted in evil. So just a small little bitty example, right? So Satan is called the ruler of the world in John 12:31 and 14:30. And there's other passages, but if you were wondering, and we understand that he's not the absolute ruler of the world. I hope you all understand that. So he has to get his permission from you, and he has to do it through deception. And there's so many people that are deceived. Right. He's been given power. But guess what? He can't have that power unless we give it to him. And so that's why we see and we look at our society and said, wow, Satan's powerful. Well, that's because people have given that power to him. That's the only reason. Right. So. And by the way, God's design for the human race to function properly is through authority, Think about the divine institutions. Have you ever thought about that? Biblical things that God has created to protect us. I mean, think about those. Look at these. Every one of these things have to do with authority. Authority. This first one is you and me. The very basis of our decision-making abilities have to do with submitting to God's authority to even make the right decisions in life. Satan doesn't want you to be under that authority. So he works around and tries to infiltrate that area of our lives through the sin nature and through anything that he can do for you to get out from God's authority and be on your own. Do your own plan. Live your own life. Do your own thing, right? That's the idea right there. And what's crazy is these are designed to preserve. To preserve you. To preserve the human race. To protect. To give us the freedom that we have today. When you rip all these out, you rip out everything that is good about a country. You rip out its freedom, you tear it apart, and it is no longer a country. When you remove these, guess what? Satan is attacking every one of these. Every single one of them. I mean, just turn on the news. He's attacking every one of them. And you definitely understand that he attacks your volition. Because I think that's the very basis of the rest of these is the individual. It starts with the individual. Well, what is the person doing? Who is what kind of decisions is the person making? Well, depends on that is are they a believer and are they focused and dedicated to the God of the Bible, right? Jesus Christ. Maybe not, but you get the idea. marriages affected by those decisions, family, nationalism, all these things are affected by what they think and what they believe in. That's it. So this is a lot deeper than I think we ever think about sometimes, but you know, it makes perfect sense of why there are so many religions, so many beliefs, and so many interpretations of what the Bible says. It makes sense. It makes sense. I'm not saying it's right, but it makes sense when you think about what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to confuse, obfuscate, deceive. He's trying to get around you. He's trying to, you know, get in the middle of that 10,000 page bill. So at that point, you'll be real tired, maybe 3/4 of the way down. You won't go that. He's certainly not going to be in the first 1,000 pages, right? Certainly not there. You know, you got to get somewhere where I can get by you. I can get by you. I mean, you got to wonder, do people actually read all that? There's no way. I mean, I know there's some politicians that find the good stuff in there a lot of times, but does anyone actually read the whole? There's no way. There's no way. Especially in the time given that they're on the news talking about it, and the bill came out weeks earlier. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't read that fast. So it's all rooted in deception. And you can obviously see it's working. But Satan attacks each one of these. You see it in every one of these. You can see it in marriage. There is a constant attack on marriage between a man and a woman, which is biblical. But guess what? That's being attacked. It's being attacked. The protection in marriage is the authority of the husband. That's what protects. That's what leads. It's not designed to be a tyrant thing. It's designed to be a protection, a gracious protection in that unit to take the blow of many things that would otherwise be absorbed by that family unit, right? The marriage is the basis of freedom in a country out after the individual, the marriage. And so when you, guess what? When you remove that authority, which Satan loves to do, what do you see a lot of kids running around nowadays with? Fatherless families. Satan is at 100% working in this area because those kids many times get involved with things they're not supposed to be doing, right? Not all the time. We have a good example here, but a lot of times they get involved in things. Why? Because Satan has removed that authority figure out of the home. How does he do that? Well, just like he did it in the garden. It's no different. He deceived the wife. He tries that all the time today. He's in the business of deception. He convinced her that what she was doing was right. What she was doing was good. What she was doing, oh, wow, you know, that would be awesome. I could think like God. See, you believe and you think that what you're doing is for maybe a right reason, or I'll just say a reason that you want to accomplish. Let's just leave it at that, because you may know it's wrong. You may know it's not right. But the reality is you convince yourself and actually deceive yourself into thinking that it is. So if we can get one or both spouses to reject God's authority, you have a broken marriage right there. That's how easy that is to do. I'm not saying it's totally broke, but I'm saying it's not functioning as good as it can or as it should or as it can be by God's design if one of those is taken out. And Satan loves to take one or the other out. In whatever distractions. I mean, this is life, right? We get distracted. Well, what's distracting the other spouse? I don't know, but there's a lot of things to be distracted with and by, right? I mean, just pick up your phone. That's a good one. Family. What about family? It's no different. Satan has put a negative spin on the nuclear family. Now it's a bad thing. There's different kinds of families now, right? There's man-man. There's woman and woman that adopt kids. There's different things. You don't need a dad. You don't need a dad anymore. That's old school. You don't need, you just need a mom or you just need a dad. You know, all these things are, see all these new concepts that are coming out. That's what these kids are thinking now. These new concepts are from Satan, and they're a part of these new generation, and it's becoming the norm. It's not the standard of what it used to be, biblical based, of the nuclear family. Now it's different. And what else is changing? The roles within a family and within a marriage. Those are going out the window. Masculinity, that's a horrible thing. Masculinity. Oh my goodness, you can't have a masculine husband. Boy, Satan, I'm telling you, it's amazing what he does and what he's capable of. The leader and the responder in a marriage, he loves to attack those roles. But guess what? That's God's design for the individual person. So in other words, you are most comfortable and most happy when you're functioning as the leader and responder in the marriage, if you're doing it correctly, if you're doing it correctly. So to take yourself out of that would be to cause yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. But it goes back to volition, doesn't it? It does. But again, those roles are being attacked today. Attacked. You can see it on the commercials on TV. It's sad. You can also see the attack on nationalism. We see that every day. I'll tell you what defines a nation is border, language, and culture. That's what define a nation. Do you realize this? Border, language, and culture. When you remove all those, guess what you have? You no longer have a nation. Satan is attacking every single one of those. Every single one of them. And I'm not just speaking about the United States. I'm speaking about any country that's ever experienced what we're experiencing. You remove the identity of a country, you remove the country. It's a great way to do it. So just be aware, because it's all out there. Patriotism is actually looked down upon nowadays. You're a danger if you support your country. You're part of that crew now. If you love Jesus and you love your country, and you see those things are looked down upon now. So it's kind of, you see, the ball is shifting. And have we gotten to that point where we're past the point of no return? I don't know. I think we're in the middle. I think we're dead center right now. We're rolling and we're dead center. You see that going away. You see the attack on how trying to redefine history. Redefine history. You've seen it. Statues being torn down, being obliterated. That's all part of Satan's strategy. Guess what? If you don't know about it, it never happened. Right? That's how you redefine history. Get rid of the books. Get rid of the textbooks. Throw away all the old stuff. You know, this already happened in China. All this has already taken place in China. And guess where they're at? They're communist. They've already gotten rid of all their statues, all their books, all their old stuff. They were going house to house getting rid of this stuff because they're trying to redefine history and change the culture, the Great Reset, right? It's already happened over there. Let's go talk to them. No. They don't want you to do that. They want you to be in your own little bubble right here and just go through the steps and say, okay, right? Let's just go through the steps. Or it's already happened. All this stuff has already happened. So we can ask, does Satan know what he's doing or does he not? No, he knows exactly what he's doing. I guess the question is, do the people know? And I would say partially they do. Partially they do, and partially they don't. You know? So anyway, Satan continues to convince people there's a way to do things apart from God. He continues to do that. And when we buy into that, when we buy into there's a way to live and be happy apart from God, there's a way to be successful apart from God, there's a way to do anything apart from God, you're on the wrong plan. You're on the wrong plan. You're on Satan's plan. So, anyways, who got me off on that tirade? I don't. I don't know, but here we are. Well, anyways, you got to your next verse that I mentioned on Wednesday, Hebrews 12:14, which says this, and this is the one that a lot of people use to scare you with. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. Here it is. This is the verse they've been looking for to prove you wrong on everything that you know spiritually about grace alone, in Christ alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. Right? This is the verse right here. I told you so, right? This is the I told you so verse. I told you your works are required or you will not see Jesus. I've heard it said before. I've heard it said. And when I first heard it, I was like, wow, I got to see what this verse means. Because it does look a little bit scary, right? What the heck does that mean? So, this is a good verse to have someone be fearful of the way they live right here. This is another one of those verses. Religion is very good at you know, inducing fear in people. This is one of those verses. So what's the verse saying? I guess the question is the verse referring to salvation? I think that's, you know, that's the what we're all thinking and want to know. Is the verse speaking about salvation? Well, you know how we do this. We like to do our little expanding search pattern, right? What's the book? Who's the author? Who's the audience? Were they believers? What is he talking about in the context? Means you got to read a little bit. I know that's hard. But that's just part of the process in the search. If you want to know what's being said about one verse, you have to read a little bit around it. So the context is what I'm saying. You got to understand the context. We all know what yanking things out of context looks like, right? So I think the first thing to say that based on the internal evidence of this book, it was written to Jews who had come out of Judaism and accepted Christ as their Savior. So they were part of religion. They came out of religion to be Christians. And so they were Jewish Christians, you can say. They weren't religious Jewish Christians. They were Jewish Christians, right? They came out of the religion to be Christian. But at the same time, they were also being tempted to go back to certain aspects of Judaism. Remember, they were the Judaizers were always there to cause trouble in a lot of books of the Bible, at least the New Testament. And this is no different. There's always influence, negative influence about going back to something you came from or being influenced something you came from as to start doing it again. Because if you did something for so long, sometimes it's easy to fall back into those old hats again, those old habits. You know what I mean? And so they were being influenced by that, or at least on the verge of it, I guess we could say. But they were believers. They were believers. They were just being influenced, and some of them were influenced, right? That's the first thing. They were facing some adverse circumstance because of that. These believers were also specific to a local church assembly Paul is writing to, or the author is writing to. It's a local church that we can gather from the book. Part of the problem with them was they were experiencing some divine discipline. Because obviously they were in danger of drifting away. They were starting to entertain some of these ideas outside the church, and it was influencing them, not all of them, but some of them, and they were experiencing some of the repercussions of making those decisions. So we could say they were in the process of becoming lazy in their spiritual growth. They were becoming kind of a detached from that consistency in the Word. And so let me just read. Let me go back to Hebrews 5:11, and I'll read that just to give you an idea of kind of where they were. Hebrews 5:11-14 says this, and then we'll take our break. It says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have a need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern evil. So you kind of get the idea, at least probably the majority of these people have become dull of hearing when it comes to spiritual things. So it's not a good place, right? They obviously were being influenced, at least to the point to think that what you're doing is not the most important thing, the study, the learning, the growth. That's what they were being influenced to be distracted from. And so that's what Paul's saying. You're to the point now where you should be teaching, or at least have the knowledge to be able to teach, but they weren't. Now they needed to hear the elementary principles. It says not solid food, but milk. Now they needed the basics of the basics. So this just goes to show you right here, we never stay the same. You don't stay the same. They started good, and if they would have continued, they would be teachers. But what happens is when we want to take a break, when we get comfortable from that consistency, what seems like to be a burden, what seems like to be hard to do, what seems like, how am I going to keep doing this and doing this, gets old. When we stop doing that, this is what happens. We become dull of hearing. So that's the start. That's where Satan loves to get us. If once you're dull of hearing, guess what? You're very convincible. I can convince you of a lot of things I couldn't have before. So I can deceive you, right? Anyways, we'll go ahead and stop there, and then we'll come back and talk about a little bit more about these believers to see what they were dealing with and what our verse specifically means. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for just the grace that you constantly provide us each and every day. Sometimes we're in awe to see how you do it or that you've done it, but you do it. And we are thankful to see that every day, to wake up, to be able to live and breathe and walk and talk and live in this world. And it's much more bigger than that. It's to be able to live in your plan. And you have a plan for us specifically as people, as individuals. And we thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who gave us our salvation and then gave it to us freely. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish. And that's the beauty of grace. It was given freely and it's accepted freely. And I thank you so much for that gift. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.